I'm beginning a new series today called March Madness. March Madness. And I'm not talking about basketball. I'm not talking about college sports. But we're going to be dealing with the madness of stress in our lives this month. Everybody say stress is bad. Now, I had you say that and repeat that a lot in my previous series because I just did a series on increase and honoring God with our finances. And one of the messages was stress is bad because a lot of people get into financial stress. And because of that, on the heels of that series, we offered a Connect group. It's too late to get plugged into that now. It's in full swing already. But it was a Financial Peace University was the Connect group, and they're meeting up here at the church again tonight as well. But there's about a dozen or so families that are in that class, and they discovered within the last couple of weeks, just think about this, about a dozen family households, over $1 million of debt in just a dozen or so families in our church. And some of these families that are coming are not in our church, but that's a lot of debt for just a dozen people or a dozen household incomes. $1 million. Does that shock anybody? When I heard that, I was thinking, my goodness, that's a lot of bondage. But the good news is you're in the right place if you're in that financial peace class, because it'll teach you how to honor God with your finances. It'll teach you how to begin to alleviate that debt. And it really works if you'll do it. Testimony after testimony has proved this. My wife and I, we know this to be true. The leaders of that class, Andy and Christine and Pastor Jim, they know this to be true, that if you'll put these practices into place, you can greatly reduce that debt and become completely debt-free. But that's a lot of stress. But in this series on March Madness, I'm not just talking about financial stress. I'm going to talk about all the other things that can stress us out, that can bring madness, that can bring chaos and craziness and stress into our lives. Now, some of you may be sitting there saying, well, I don't know if I need this message. I would encourage you. Well, maybe I shouldn't encourage this. I'm going to go ahead and discourage you from Googling signs of stress, because I did that this last week, and there are so many signs of stress. One of them was if you have pain of any kind, ever. I'm thinking that could be a sign that you have stress. I mean, I got to the point as I was reading through it, I thought, if you're breathing and have a pulse, then you have stress in your life. So the truth of the matter is, though, we live in hectic times. How many of you would agree that that's probably true? There was a headline recently dealing with personal stress worldwide. And it said that the personal stress is at a near record level. They believe, and this is not a perfect science, but they believe that they can kind of govern levels of stress in cultures and societies worldwide. And they think the only other time that it might have been higher was during World War II, worldwide. So it's at near record level, almost if not equally as high as the stress levels were during World War II. Suicide has passed car wrecks as the number one injury death in America. Think about how many people die in car wrecks every day. And yet suicide now has surpassed that as an injury death. Suicide is now the number one injury cause of death in America. Top seven stresses in life. Let me just give you these real quick. They're not going to be on the screen. You don't necessarily have to write these down. But the top seven things that can stress people out the most, number one is their job, work, in other words. Number two is money. Number three is health. Number four is relationships, and specifically family relationships. Number five is poor diet. Number six is media overload. I thought that was interesting. Media overload causes stress. And then number seven is lack of sleep. Number eight, incidentally, was wondering who the Cowboys are going to get in the draft next month. I made that one up. I just made that up. That anyway, but people are overloaded and overwhelmed with stress. And so I want to look at a classic passage in the Bible on how to keep from stressing out. If you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Don't put it up on the screen just yet. You're ahead of me there. Thanks, Elo. Doing a good job. Philippians chapter 4. Now, we are going to look at another passage in Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to hold your place in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to end up in Matthew chapter 6. But in Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to begin. There are some natural ways of dealing with stress. I had y'all do this on purpose today to take a deep breath. And some people say that's a natural way of dealing with stress, is just to take a deep breath, just to breathe in, to feel it from your nose to your toes, you know, to do deep breathing exercises. These are natural ways of dealing with stress. Some people say take a regular day off. I think it's important to take a regular day off. God even said to do that, and he modeled it. Healthier diet and exercise. I'm a perfect example of that. And another way is learning how to set boundaries without guilt. And I think that's true. In fact, I would recommend a book it's actually called Boundaries, and it's written by a man named Dr. Henry Cloud. It's a great book. He's also written one for parents dealing with boundaries in their children. I think all of these are great natural ways that we can deal with stress. But I want to look at some supernatural ways. In other words, I want to look at some spiritual ways that God has told us will help us when we're feeling stressed out. And this is in Philippians chapter 4. I call this a recipe. It's a recipe for dealing with the madness, dealing with the craziness and the chaos of life. It's a recipe for dealing with stress. And it comes with a guarantee. It comes with a guarantee. It says, if you will do this, if you will apply this recipe to your life, if you will do this, there is a guarantee that it will greatly lower your stress. And the guarantee is not made by a doctor, but it's made by God. So let's look at it. This is Philippians chapter 4 now, in verse 7. And I'm actually going to be using a few different translations. I've tried to mark those on the PowerPoint today, or on the key. What do you call that? On the screen. But this is from the Living Translation. It says, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. In other words, this is beyond just the natural realm, but this goes into the supernatural. This is something that the Bible refers to. As other translations says, this is the peace that passes understanding. The peace that passes, think about that statement. The peace that passes understanding. How do you know if you have that kind of peace in your life? The way you know you have the peace that passes understanding is that when things are happening in your life and there is absolutely no logical reason whatsoever for you to be at peace, and yet you are, that's the peace that passes understanding. I mean, things are going bad. Things are chaotic. Things have gotten bad and they're getting worse, and they couldn't get much worse. It's the worst it's ever been in your life, and yet you still have peace. That's miraculous. That's supernatural. That's the kind of peace that passes understanding. How many of you think, I could use that a little bit? I could have some of that. I'll take some of that. I'll take a dose of that. God says, I guarantee that if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet. Quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you like to have that? Wouldn't you like to have your thoughts quiet and your heart at rest? How many of you have little conversations in your mind all the time? One person raised their hand. The rest of you laughed. I don't know if they're laughing at you. But no. We all. Wouldn't you like to have your mind just be quiet and your heart truly at rest? We need this, especially in this culture that we live in that's going crazy. God promises a more peaceful and a less stressed mind and a less stress in your heart, less stress in your life. Is anybody interested in this? Now, God tells us if we do this, if we do these things, we are guaranteed to have less stress, less madness in our lives. But what are these things that he says to do? This is what I'm going to talk about for the next several weeks. I'm going to talk about four things from this passage in Philippians chapter 4, four things that he tells us to do, and these are the recipes. And so, much like my previous series that I did on honoring God with our finances, I'm going to have four things that I'm going to just repeat every week, and I'm going to have you repeat it because I want you to learn it. I want us to get this, okay? So y'all work with me. It's no fun unless you open your mouth and actually say these things out loud, all right? It's just like when the praise team is up here leading worship, it's no fun for them if you just sit there and don't sing. That was free. But these are the four things, and I'm going to talk about the first one today. But here, I want you to get these, though, in your heart. Get them in your mind. Learn them and remember them. The first thing is worry about nothing. Would you just mind saying that? Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Come on, work with me. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things and think good things. Now let's do it again. Let's get crowd participation. Come on, everybody join in with me. Don't make me make you stand up now, all right? Some of you may say, I need to stand up. My back's getting sore. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. And just go ahead and point to your head and say, think good things. Now, I want you to learn these four things. Today, we're going to be talking, though, about worry about nothing. Today, we're going to worry about nothing. About nothing. Worry about nothing. Well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. No, it's not. Worry about nothing. Why is this important? Because the number one stress in your life, honestly, that list that I just gave of the stresses that people often say are their number one, number two, number three stress, let me just tell you, your number one stress in life is not really your job. It's not work. It's not your finances. It's not your health. It's not your relationships. It's not your family. It's not the Dallas Cowboys. Honestly, the number one thing that causes stress in life is worry. Why would you worry about your job? Or why would work, your job, stress you out? It's because you're worried. Because you're worried that are you doing the right thing? Are you doing a good job? Are you worried you're getting it done? Are you worried that you're going to get fired? Are you worried you're going to get paid enough? Are you worried the money's going to come in? All these things that we say cause us stress, really, if we're being honest, if we do some real honest soul searching, what's really at the heart of it is worry. Worry about nothing. Things that keep us up at night. It's not really that debt. It's not really that tension in our relationship. It's the worry that comes along with it. That's really the problem. This is found in the previous verse, in verse 6. In Philippians chapter 4, I just read verse 7, where it says, if we do these things, we'll have the peace of God that passes understanding. But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, here's the things that he says to do. And the very first thing he says is, don't worry about anything. That's actually in the Bible. That's the inspired written word of God. Don't worry about anything. Anything? Anything, 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 anything. Starting to sound like an infomercial. This thing can cut and dice anything, anything, anything. He says, don't worry about anything. Let me ask you, is there any wiggle room in that statement? There's nothing. Does God say, now don't worry about anything except? No. There's no wiggle room. God never says that it's okay to worry under some circumstance. No, he doesn't say that. He says, don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. He makes it very clear how he feels about worry. God says, don't do it. Don't worry about anything. There's no wiggle room here. Don't worry about anything. But what about no? Well, how about no? Now, God, come on. What if no? You don't understand, Lord. No. Don't worry about anything. Jesus thought this was so important that he included a very large section on this topic in his most famous sermon. I've been hanging out there a lot in my last previous standalone messages. I've been preaching from the Sermon on the Mount that is found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's the longest sermon that was recorded by Jesus. It's his most famous sermon. And he covers a lot of things in there, but he takes a large section of this most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about this very issue. Now, if this was important enough for Jesus to include it in his most well-known address to a congregation of people, don't you think it's important for you? Don't you think this is important if Jesus said this is important? So I think he understood that this is something that is harmful to people. It's going to stress people out, and it's not necessary. And so he talks about this a lot. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn back over to Matthew chapter 6. In that section of his sermon, Jesus gives us four reasons why we should never worry about anything. Four things, and I want you to, maybe you should write these down. You can write them in the back of your bulletin if you want to. There's a pen there somewhere in that seat back pocket. But in that, or if you want to plug it in on your device or whatever. But in this section of his sermon, he gives us four reasons why we should never worry about anything. Number one, worry is unreasonable. It's unreasonable. It simply doesn't make sense. It's unreasonable. Have you ever been around a person who is really, they're just beside themselves with worry? And you try everything you can to try to console them and help them, and they're just unreasonable? They cannot see the truth. Have you ever seen this before? Maybe it's been you. And you knew there was no reason for this, but you couldn't help it because that worry had overtaken you. But Jesus says, it's unreasonable. It simply doesn't make sense. This is in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. He says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. I'm talking about clothes. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, this is not logical. It's not logical. It's unreasonable. You have your priorities out of whack. They're out of order. They're messed up. Worry doesn't help at all. It doesn't help at all. Nothing can be gained from it. It's unreasonable. A couple of reasons that it's unreasonable. The first reason is because it exaggerates the problem. It's unreasonable because whatever the problem may be that you're worrying over, worry just exaggerates it and makes it bigger. Have you ever had one person say something maybe negative to you or about you? Come on, anybody else but me, because it happens to me all the time. And the more you think about it, the bigger it gets, right? Somebody says one little derogatory thing about you, and the more you think about it, the more you dwell on it, the bigger it gets. I can't believe they said that. Did you hear what they... And you start thinking about it, and you think, I wonder what else they're saying about me. I wonder who they're saying it to besides me. I wonder how many people they've said it to. I wonder who else is saying things about me. Everybody's talking about me. One comment that probably was taken out of context, that was probably a misunderstanding, becomes everybody hates me. Everybody's talking about me. Everybody's making fun of me. They're all laughing at me. It's exaggerated. It's not even true. You ever been in a financial jam and maybe you're having a hard time paying a bill? And you think, oh my gosh, what if I can't pay this bill? What if they come after me? Who are they? Who are they going to be? Are they going to be mean? They're going to call me on the phone. Are they going to come to my house? Are they going to repossess my car? They're going to take away my car. If they take away my car, I can't get to work. If I can't get to work, I'm going to lose my job. If I lose my job, I can't make more money to pay all the rest of the bills. If I can't pay the bills, my wife's going to leave me and my kids are going to hate me and I'm going to be homeless and hated. All because of one overdue bill, we start worrying and it exaggerates the problem. Now, I think you should pay your bills, yes. But worrying is unreasonable. Things get all exaggerated and just blown out of proportion. It exaggerates the problem. Another reason worry is unreasonable is because it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Think about it. Has worrying about something ever worked? It never has worked. It never helps solve the problem in any way whatsoever. It's worthless. It's, somebody said it like this, it's stewing without doing. You're stewing on it and you're stewing on it. You're just, it's simmering in the back of your mind. It's just worry, worry, worry. And you're not doing anything about it. It's not doing anything. It's just stewing without doing. It never makes any difference in your life. To worry about something you can't change. Get this. This is tweetable. To worry about something you can't change is useless. And to worry about something you can change is stupid. Thank you. Why is it stupid? Because just go change it. To worry about something you can change is stupid. Stupid to worry about something you can change. Just go change it. But to worry about something you cannot change is useless. It's useless to worry about it. It doesn't work. In either case, worry is not the answer. It doesn't work. It's unreasonable. The second reason Jesus said not to worry is because worry is unnatural. It's unnatural. And so what do you mean? Well, think about it. The only beings in all of creation that worry are human beings. Birds don't worry. Cows don't worry. Fish don't worry. Dogs don't worry. Cats are just evil. I'm sorry. I'm always picking on you cat people. I don't mean that. Cats don't worry. They can create some worry, but cats don't worry though. Worry is unnatural. Trees don't worry. Flowers don't worry. It's unnatural. It's not part of a natural thing for us to worry. Worry is unnatural. You were not born to worry. Some of you want to argue, no, I am a natural born worrier. No, you weren't born to worry. You ever see a baby and you're looking at that baby and that baby's like, I'm just worried. I'm worried mama's not going to feed me. No, they just scream until they get fed, you know. You know that you weren't born to worry. It's not natural to worry. Jesus talks about this again. First of all, let me just say this. Worry is not something that you're born to do. You learn it. And if you can learn it, the good news is you can unlearn it. That really is true. And Jesus knew that this was unnatural. And he says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Would you mind just saying, your heavenly Father? Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? In other words, aren't you more valuable? Don't you let me just answer Jesus' questions. He's trying to get them to understand, you're more valuable than birds. God cares for you more than birds, and he takes care of the birds. But it says he's your heavenly Father. He's not the birds' heavenly Father. He's your heavenly Father. But he takes care of the birds. If he takes care of the birds, don't you think he's going to take care of you? Children have special privileges. And children of royalty are treated royally. And you're a child of the king, and your father, who takes care of the birds, is certainly going to take care of you. It's unnatural to worry, especially for a believer. Someone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ and believes what he is saying here, that God is your heavenly Father, it's just unnatural. It's unnatural for you to believe that your father's not going to take care of you. He continues in verse 28. He says, "Why do you worry about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, King Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." In other words, the wisest and wealthiest king who ever lived was not dressed as beautifully and comfortably and warmly as a lily of the field, a wildflower. Now, if God takes care of the flowers, if God takes care of the birds, isn't he going to take care of you as well? If God takes care of even a wildflower, he's certainly going to take care of you. Lilies don't worry. It's unnatural. Birds don't worry. Only human beings were. Think about this. We are the only thing that God made that doesn't trust him. Wow, Pastor, hit me hard. Hit me again. Thank you, sir. May I have another? We're the only thing that God made that doesn't trust him. Worry is unnatural because it's unnatural. Now think about this. Because it's unnatural, that means it's unhealthy. Think about all the unnatural things that we consume, all the unnatural things that we eat, especially in this nation, and how it causes so many health problems. And the reason it causes so many health problems is because our bodies were not designed for these things that are unnatural. All right? And likewise, worry is unnatural. And because worry is so unnatural, our body was not designed to carry it. Our body was not designed to consume it, to digest worry. And so think about this for a minute. All the unnatural things that we consume, that we eat. Now, some of you, maybe you're very healthy. And you try to eat whole foods, and you try not to eat anything that's unnatural. Bravo, way to go! I'm not there yet, but all the things that we consume that are unnatural, and it causes health problems in our nation, and yet doctors all agree that that's not the number one health problem in America. It's not the unnatural things we eat. Doctors all agree, for the most part, across the board, for the most part, that worry, that stress is the number one cause of health problems. In fact, worry and stress being the number one causes of health problems usually leads to bad diet. They all agree that the unnaturalness of worry is what causes is the main cause of health problems. So worry is unnatural, and because it's unnatural, it's unhealthy. The leading cause of suicide, but it's the leading cause of other deaths. It's the leading cause of stress that leads to other health problems in your life. It's not what you eat, it's what's eating you that makes you sick. Worry is unreasonable, and it's unnatural. And because it's unnatural, it's unhealthy. Look at Proverbs 12:25. You just write this down. It says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression." Another translation says, "Worry weighs a person down." The word worry comes from an old English word that literally means to choke or to strangle. So when you're worrying, it's like you're strangling. It's like you're choking the life of it out of yourself. Worry weighs a person down. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But now contrast this with Proverbs 14:30. Proverbs 14:30 says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. You want to be healthier? How many of you say, I need to be healthier? Come on. You know, I know. Sometimes you look at me and you say, Pastor, who are you to preach? Look at you. I know I'm not the perfect example. I've got this picture of my face superimposed on Dwayne The Rock Johnson's body, and I look at it every morning for inspiration. Thanks, Andy, for making that for me. I know I'm not the perfect example, but I get around other people that I look like I'm so much more unhealthy than, and they start telling me about all their health problems, and I think, how am I always the healthy one? And I think it's because I just don't worry. You know, I'm not immune. We all have those times of anxiety that try to creep into our life, but I think a lot of the reason I'm more healthy than a lot of people that I shouldn't be more healthy than is because they're so overwhelmed. And I've learned this little secret, not perfect, but I've just learned this recipe to just not worry about things. It's unreasonable, it's unnatural, and because it's unnatural, it's unhealthy. The third reason Jesus said not to worry is because it's unhelpful, unhelpful. It just doesn't do any good. It's completely useless in terms of offering any assistance to a problem. When you get overwhelmed with worry, you don't think straight and you can't find the actual answer. Because you're overwhelmed, you're anxious, you're so overwhelmed with it that actually it blinds you from seeing the truth, and it's unhelpful with any challenge that you face in this life. Jesus continues in verse 27, he says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, worry can't make you an inch taller. It can't make you any stronger. It can't take 10 inches off your waist. Worry can't lengthen your life. But it certainly can shorten your life. Worry, it can't change the past and it can't control the future. Now think about all these things. It can't do anything but make you miserable. It can't change the past. It can't control the future. All it does is it makes today suck. It just messes up today. That's all it does. It just makes you miserable. It doesn't change the past. It doesn't control the future. It doesn't make you stronger. It doesn't make you taller. It doesn't make you healthier. It just messes up today, and it makes your life miserable. It's like rocking in a rocking chair. There's a lot of energy that it's expended, but you're not making any progress. I thought about using the analogy of a treadmill, but we need to walk on a treadmill at least, you know, because there's some good exercise involved that. But when you're just sitting in a rocking chair, you're expending energy and you're not making any progress whatsoever. That's what worry does. It expends a lot of energy and does nothing to help you. It's not helpful. It's useless. The only thing that worry really changes is you. I remember one time My grandmother, who's gone on to be with the Lord, and I loved her and I adored her, but our family was going through some sort of crisis, and honestly, I don't even remember what it was now, but she was so worried. And I mean, she was a believer. She loved Jesus, but she could worry. And I had not been a Christian. I had not been a follower of Jesus for very long, but I had read this passage in Matthew chapter 6. And so I asked my grandmother, I said, Mimi, that's what I called her. I said, Mimi, why are you so worried? Don't you know that Jesus said not to worry? And she said, she looked at me so exasperated. She just said, well, somebody's got to do it. And then she started laughing just like you did. And I started laughing. And she had this funny laugh, you know. For many years, she had been a smoker. And so she sounded like Rosalind from the Monsters, Inc., you know. Anyway, but she just started laughing. She's like, somebody's got to do it. Worry is unreasonable and it's unnatural. And therefore, it's unhealthy. It's useless. It's unhelpful. And the fourth thing Jesus says is worry is unnecessary. You see, my Mimi, she thought it was necessary at the time. She said, well, somebody's got to do it. If nobody else is going to worry, I'm going to do it. But it's not necessary. God says, what in the world are you worried about? Think about this for a minute. He says, why are you so worried? You're my child. I love you. I gave myself for you. I gave my life for you. I died on a cross so that you can be saved. I have put my spirit inside of you. He says, I have adopted you as my own child. He even says, I've married you because we're called the bride of Christ. What on earth do you have to worry about? It's not necessary. Nobody has to do it. There is no need to worry. It's unnecessary. Verse 30 of Matthew 6, Jesus continues. He says, now, if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do you realize, God, As I was meditating on this, do you realize, this blew me away when I thought about this. And I can only say that I believe it was inspired. God made flowers that no human being will ever see. Just think about this for a minute. Do you know that they're still discovering new plant life? After how many thousands of years, they're still discovering new wildlife, new animals, new bugs, and new fish, and they're still discovering new flowers that have not been discovered before. Do you realize God has created flowers that only He will ever enjoy? Only He will ever see them. Only He will ever smell their fragrance. And yet He cares for you even more than He cares for those flowers. Think about this. It says, if God took care of the grass of the fields, He clothed them. In other words, He clothed them with the beauty of those flowers. Even though they're here today and gone tomorrow. And many of them only He will ever enjoy. No human being will ever see them. We do ministry with Prepare International. We've done a number of trips with them. And normally what we do is we minister and train national leaders, spiritual leaders, church leaders, and pastors. And about every 3 years, we all come together from all over Europe and all over the world, really. And we meet in this little valley in Austria, in the Alps, and it's beautiful. I mean, literally, you can turn a full circle and take a picture in any direction, and it's a postcard. Because we're in Austria, and because there's these mountains, you know, we have opportunities, especially in the afternoons, to go hiking. Our last trip was just last summer, and we took our girls and. My girls, they love the sound of music, and that's where this was filmed. So there's a song in The Sound of Music called Edelweiss, and it's about a flower. It's called Edelweiss. And so we wanted to go on one of those hikes, and we wanted to go find one of these flowers. And so we Googled it again and to find out what it looks like so that we could figure out how to find it. And so we go hunting for it, and we don't see it. We see other flowers, beautiful flowers everywhere, but we didn't find. And so we started asking some of the locals, and they said, oh, Edelweiss. yeah, everybody wants to find Edelweiss because of Julie Andrews and The Sound of Music and Edelweiss, which is not even one of their national songs. It was written in America. but says, yeah, everybody wants to find that. And we were like, well, how do you find it? It's so high up in the mountains that it's so hard to get to. And it's only there for a short season out of every year. And you've got to go off the beaten path to find Edelweiss. And even then, there's very slim chance that you're actually going to find Edelweiss. But they always say, but if you do, it takes your breath away. Can you think about that for a minute? Think about God created a breathtaking, beautiful flower only for him to enjoy, that very few other human beings are ever going to actually see it or enjoy it. And if he took that much care for a little flower that's here today and gone tomorrow, how much more does he care for you, his children? Why worry? Are you getting this today? Are you hearing the, what is there really to worry about? It's unreasonable. It's unnatural, which means it's unhelpful or unhealthy. It's unhelpful. And it's just not necessary. Anytime you feel worry coming, anxiety coming, trying to overtake your mind and blow things out of proportion, remember what Jesus says here again. Remember what Paul said. Worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything. The first step to a stress-free life, the first step really to experiencing the peace that passes understanding. Don't worry about anything. Would you mind just saying it? Worry about nothing. The reason is because it's unreasonable, it's unnatural, it's unhelpful, and it's unnecessary. Let me show you another verse to sum this up today, and you can just write this down if you want to. But this is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, "Give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Other translation says, "Cast all your cares on him." Another translation says, "Unload all your worries. Give them all to God, for he cares for you." Literally, this word to cast or to give or to unload. Let me tell you what it means literally from the Greek. It doesn't mean to throw something towards God. It means to take all of this stuff that you're worried about, all this anxiety, all this craziness, all this chaos, all this madness of your life, all the things that cause you stress, all the things that you're worried about, take this load and just drop it. That's literally what it means, to drop it. Do you mind just saying drop it? Ever say you're worried about something, somebody else looking and say, "Oh, just drop it." Drop it. Drop it at the feet of God who cares for you. Bring it to him and drop it. I think we need to do that today. I think just close your Bibles, close your notes, your books. And I just want to ask you for a minute. You can bow your head if you want to. You can close your eyes if you want to. Take another deep breath if you want to. But how many of you in here today say, I've been a little overwhelmed? Just be honest. Nobody's looking around. This is just between me, you, and God right now. You say, I've been a little overwhelmed. Maybe a lot overwhelmed. Maybe you've experienced quite a bit of stress in your life. Just raise your hand up. Come on. A lot of hands going up. My goodness. Now, here's what I know this is a strange exercise, and Jesus didn't die to give us just some weird exercises here, but I think sometimes it's helpful to just to do something physical that represents something that's happening emotionally and even spiritually in your life. So what I'm going to ask you to do today, just right there where you sit, just kind of take your hands and cup them. And I want you to just envision your stress, your worry, your fear, your anxiety. Maybe there's some things that are really real right now that are pressing down on you. And that doesn't mean that those things are going to go away, but the worry and the stress that it's causing in your life can begin to melt off. And I want you to just picture that right there in your cupped hands, as if it were a load that's just too heavy for you to really bear. And here's what I want you to do in a physical way. I literally do this today. I want you just to drop it. Just drop it. And take a deep breath and remember who you are, and more importantly, whose you are. You're his child. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come now. The weight that has been upon the shoulders is really not on the shoulders. It's all in the mind. And Lord, you say you want to give us peace of mind and a heart that is truly at rest. And the first step you say here, Lord, is to worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything. God, I pray, Father, that you will begin to cause this worry that has been overwhelming so many hands that have gone up here today. Cause it just to melt away from their life. Let them breathe easy again. Alleviate the pain of that stress. Bring health. Bring rest. Bring sleep. Let their hearts, their souls be at peace, and let quietness overtake them, not the madness of this world. But just to seek you in that still small voice and to hear you say, "You're my child. I care for you even more than birds and flowers." Lord, I thank you so much for your overwhelming and unconditional love. Again, nobody's looking around here right now, but how many of you just say, I felt something there today. I just sensed a release. I just sensed it. Go ahead and raise your hand. That's you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that, oh God. Just begin to thank him now. Paul says, if you do these things, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God says, if you do this, you'll have peace that passes understanding. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Give thanks in all things. And think good things. Lord, I pray, Father, that you will do a miracle work, a sustaining work, that this worry will never in any way afflict their life again. In Jesus' name. Let's give him praise in this place today. Come on.